please start the recording now? Okay, thank you, Coordinator. Okay, this is the time and place set for the adoption hearing on proposed regulation pertaining to Chapter 604A of the Nevada Administrative Code, as provided by Senate Bill Number 201, requiring the Commissioner of the Financial Institutions to develop, implement, and maintain a database storing certain information relating to deferred deposit loans, title loans, and high interest loans made to customers in this state, and providing other matters properly relating thereto. As described by the Notice of Intent to Act upon a Regulation, Notice of Hearing for the Adoption of Regulation posted on November 9th, 2020, this hearing is scheduled for 10 a.m. to noon. Today is Wednesday, December 9th, 2020, and the time is 10:02 a.m. Financial institution staff present at today's hearing, Commissioner Sandy O'Loughlin, Deputy Attorney General Vivian Rakowski, Examiner and your coordinator for today, Jennifer Ramsey, and myself, Deputy Commissioner Mary Young. If you have not already done so, please turn off your video and mute your phone or microphone. Keep your phone or microphone muted until called upon by the coordinator. If joining by web, please activate the chat by clicking the dialogue balloon and enter your information on the sign-in sheet for the meeting record. For all comments, please do the following to let us know you would wish to comment. For those joining us by web, type an X in the chat box. For those joining us by phone, when the coordinator opens up the comment for call and participants, please speak up at that time. Clearly state and spell your first and last name and business affiliation before you begin your comment. It is important to emphasize that the purpose of this hearing is to give all interested parties a reasonable opportunity to submit information and comments regarding the adoption of regulations as it pertains to Chapter 604A of the Nevada Administrative Code. In today's hearing, we will be soliciting general comments regarding the subject matter contained in those sections of the Legislative Council Bureau's draft proposed regulation for adoption in accordance with the provisions of the statute. The regulation will be submitted to and reviewed by the Legislative Commission for final approval, then will be filed with the Nevada Secretary of State. We will now move on to item 2 on the agenda, public comment on the proposed regulation. Members of the public are encouraged to address the commissioner regarding any matter. However, no action may be taken on that matter. Public comment will be limited to 3 minutes per person or less due to time constraints. Comments will first be taken from those individuals that joined in by the web and second from those individuals that joined in by the phone. Web participants, please type an X in the chat box if you wish to comment. Please wait for the coordinator to recognize you before you unmute your phone or microphone. Please clearly state and spell your first and last name and business affiliation before you begin your comment. Jennifer, do we have any comments from the web? We have Heidi Welch. Okay, Ms. Welch, we're ready for your comment.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am, we can.
Okay. My name is Heidi Welch, H-E-I-D-I-W-E-L-C-H, and I'm from USA Cash Services, and I would like to say a few remarks on the record. At the beginning of this process, when received the first draft of the proposed regulation, our company called Mary Young and spoke to her. We were obviously naive of the process and thought that we could just call her up and have a dialogue about the regulations and get a few things fixed. In our conversation, we said, Mary, there must be a little misunderstanding. These proposed regulations have much more in them than the original SB 201 authorized. Can we go through it with you and have a discussion about it? Mary quickly let us know that there was no misunderstanding and that there is a process for all of our objections. She let us know that we would be receiving notices of the workshops where we would be able to make public comment and submit letters, as well as if we qualified, we would receive a small business impact statement to fill out, and this would all pertain to the proposed regulations. What I didn't know and what she didn't say was that it didn't matter what we said in the letters or the workshops or even the small business impact statement. Again, We were naive. We had no idea that all of this was just a formality and that the FID just needed to finish the process so that we could put through, so that they could put through the proposed regulations the way they wanted to, no matter what our input was. I would like to make it clear that our company is not opposing the database. I want to say it again. We are not opposing the database. In fact, we would like to work with the FID in drafting a regulation that not only aligns with what SB 201 authorized, but that would actually work operationally in a real-life loan center. We have been requesting a dialogue with the FID to do just that many, many times in these workshops and in several letters that we have submitted, but these requests have sadly fallen on deaf ears. The way that these proposed regulations are written not only go way beyond the scope of this original SB 201, but they also will do tremendous harm to our small business. It is clear to me that whoever wrote these regulations, they do not understand the operations of a loan center. You cannot operate or do loans the way these regulations are written. We have repeatedly told you our concerns in these workshops, in our letters, in our small business impact statement. The FID claims to have addressed our concerns in our small business impact statement, but they have not. We have told them this by clarifying it in the workshops, in our additional letters, and by letting them know that they have misunderstood our concerns, but they just gloss over them and say that they have addressed them. In conclusion, I want to make it clear that I am urging you not to adopt these proposed regulations as written today. I urge you to have a dialogue with us and address our concerns. We would appreciate your reconsideration. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Welch. Jennifer, do we have anyone else from the web?
We have Taylor Altman.
Hey, Ms. Altman, we are ready for your comment.
Thank you. Good morning. My name is Taylor Altman. That's TayLorAltman. And I am a staff attorney in the Consumer Rights Project at the Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada. I'd just like to make a brief comment. We're very excited that the regulations will be adopted and the database will go into effect. The database is an extremely important consumer protection tool. The collection of data as set forth in the regulations will ensure that the borrower will not be given another loan if they do not have the ability to repay it given their other financial obligations. In light of COVID-19 and widespread unemployment, in a world where renters are fighting to stay in their homes and families are struggling to put food on the table, it's critical to have the database in place to protect vulnerable, low-income members of the community. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment. Jennifer, the next commenter.
Next, we have Victoria Newman.
Okay, Ms. Newman, we're ready for your comment.
Great. Good morning. My name is Victoria Newman, V-I-C-T-O-R-I-A, Newman, N-E-W-M-A-N, on behalf of Title Max of Nevada, Inc. My first comment is to suggest that these regulations should be permanent when we don't have some of the most basic information necessary to move forward is putting the cart before the horse. We still have no idea who the database provider is, when the required go live date is for such regulations, or if the database can actually do, or the industry members can actually do what the regulations require us to do. Second, as many industry representatives have mentioned in the past and already on this call, particularly Ms. Welch, the proposed regulations are far afield of what the legislature actually asked the agency to do. And while the industry has discussed this numerous times with the FID has not heeded those warnings or discussions. We were hopeful that we would have open dialogue and the ability to discuss and that the FID would listen to our concerns, but it doesn't seem like that is going to be the case and we'll have to pursue other options. And third, it would be helpful for industry to understand if you are suggesting that these regulations are to be permanent or are they are temporary. Our understanding is that they can only be temporary due to the timeline. So it would be helpful if the FID could respond to that question. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Newman. These regulations are going to be permanent regulations. The division did meet all the timeframes pursuant to the rulemaking laws and procedures. All of our original initial draft, as well as the revisions made based upon the comments made from the industry, were all submitted to LCB before their initial review, so they will be permanent regulations. Jennifer, do we have someone else that would like to comment from the web?
We have Peter.
Okay, Peter, we're ready for your comments.
Yes, good morning. I'm Peter Guzman, president of the Latin Chamber of Commerce. And let me say, I am not here fighting for an industry. I am fighting for the small business community and my membership that's over 1,600 strong. They include businesses of all sizes, large banks, and yes, some installment payday lenders. And they have played a valuable role in our community, providing assistance to those who can't always qualify for your normal conventional means of funding, especially during this pandemic. It's been highlighted during this pandemic, and I'm sure there's been great intentions with this, but I think the fact is lost in these discussions is that short-term installment lenders were not here for a lot of small business, so that small business, they are here so that small businesses could survive and prosper. In your attempt to protect people, you could quite honestly destroy a necessary means of funding that they rely on when times are tough and conventional banks have turned them down. As written, these regulations would put many of these lenders out of business. And in turn, small businesses, especially in my community, would be left without an important tool to help them survive going forward and keep people employed. I feel your job is to regulate industries, I respect that, but not to create overly burdensome policies that no one could follow and that will make it impossible for these businesses to operate. I very much hope you will consider not passing these regulations as written today and work with the industry to come up with a document that truly reflects the spirit of the law that was passed last session and allows these businesses to continue to provide the extremely necessary services to my members and to my community. Access to capital is what keeps businesses open. In closing, I would also say, I have a lot of members that are very nervous about databases for obvious immigration reasons. It's real and it's something they live with every day. I hope you consider that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments, sir. Jennifer, do we have someone else commenting from the web?
We have Janet Phillips.
Okay, Ms. Phillips, we're ready for your comment.
Hi there. I am Janet Phillips, Janet Phillips, Phillips. I'm representing USA Cash Services. At USA Cash Services has been in the industry since the 90s in multiple states, including Nevada. From the beginning, we've taken it on as our responsibility to be involved in the legislative process, both at the state level and national. We've always been able to work with state members to come up with reasonable regulations that businesses could follow to ensure that customers were best protected. USA Cash Services has always embraced regulation changes and abided by the regulations, as evidenced by our good annual exam records. We, along with many others in our industry, worked with the drafters of SB 201 in the same manner. It was the usual give and take for what got included in the final bill. USA Cash Services, as well as the industry, were moving forward to work with the database as drafted in SB 201. But in February, we received the proposed regulations. It was very clear that whoever developed the proposed regulations didn't actually understand how to work with customers, loan management software, or databases. So, we set out to help as we always have. With repeated requests, there was never a dialogue. When concerns were raised this time, rather than being adjusted or corrected, they were dismissed or put in the category of the database will interface with the licensee's system. This answer, the database will interface with the licensee's system, became a cookie-cutter reply to anything they did not want to address. Workshops took on a whole new definition. Instead of working together to craft regulations, they became a time where concerns could be voiced with no dialogue and no changes considered. Looking back now, it's clear that the FID had proposed regulations set in stone. This round of workshops has helped me to understand what's wrong with our political system, because it feels like it's been changed from for the people, by the people system to a process of check the boxes and push it through system. As currently written, there are seriously flaws to make this work operationally between the database company and the lenders, and no one will listen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Phillips. Jennifer, do we have any other commenters from the web?
I'm not sure who this is. It just says Paul's.
This is Barbara Paulson with Nevadans for the Common Good.
Okay, we are ready for your comments, Ms. Paulson.
Barbara, B-A-R-B-A-R-A, Paulson, P-A-U-L-S-E-N, again with Nevadans for the Common Good. We see this database as a valuable consumer protection and feel that it's important now during these unusual times more than ever before. We strongly support moving forward with this regulation, and we would like to see it go into effect as soon as possible. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment. Jennifer, next commenter.
We have Christine Saunders.
Good morning. My name is Christine Saunders. That's C-H-R-I-S-T-I-N-E-S-A-U-N-D-E-R-S. And I'm the policy director with the Progressive Leadership Alliance of Nevada. We supported Senate Bill 201 during the 2019 legislative session because it was a common sense solution to track high interest loans and allow for the proper enforcement of already existing laws in the loan application process. With the financial impacts under COVID-19, it is imperative that we implement the currently drafted regulations as soon as possible. The enforcement of consumer protections will help prevent low-income Nevadans and those suffering because of the pandemic from being taken advantage of by predatory lenders and becoming overloaded with debt. These regulations have been delayed for too long. It has been 527 days since Senate Bill 201 became effective for the purpose of drafting regulations, and 161 days since the law would have been able to go into effect. Nevadans need these consumer protections today, and I urge you to swiftly adopt the drafted regulations. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Jennifer, next commenter.
We have Ryan Marchese.
Mr. Marchese, we're ready for your comments.
Hi there, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we can, sir.
Great, thank you, and good morning. My name is Ryan Marchese. It's spelled R-Y-A-N-M-A-R-C-H-E-S-I, and I am with Check City. Check City has been a licensed lender in the state of Nevada for now over 20 years. We've undergone 20 annual examinations by the FID. We've lived through over half a dozen changes to the statutes, and on multiple occasions, we have been through the regulatory workshop process with the FID. Throughout the last 20 years, we've had what I would consider a constructive and well-functioning relationship with the FID. We have certainly not always agreed on everything, and we've had our differences of opinion throughout the last two decades, but in times of disagreement, historically, we have always been given the benefit of a conversation with two-way dialogue. We've been allowed to state our opinions and provide the why or the justification for them, and in turn the FID would state their respective opinion and also provide the why behind those. Ultimately, in this type of scenario, both sides are at least aware of what the other is thinking and why they feel the way they do. Unfortunately, we are extremely disheartened and disappointed by the approach the FID has taken in the regulatory process on the regulation we're here discussing today. It's not in keeping with these historical, well-established norms. Rather than engaging in an actual workshopping of the proposed regulation with constructive two-way dialogue and allowing stakeholders to state their whys, with the FID following that up with their whys, we've instead been subjected to something akin to a because-I-told-you-so regulatory process with no two-way dialogue, no back-and-forth discussion of topics, and the industry left just only to guess why the FID is doing what they are. We've poured hundreds of hours of resources into participating in this regulatory process in good faith. We've submitted well over 100 pages of written comments to the FID, and we've gone on the record multiple times stating our objections to some key area of the regs. We've requested meetings, we've sent emails, and we've tried exhaustively to get the FID to engage in a conversation, all to no avail. So to clarify, just as others have here today, we are not opposing the implementation of a database or the implementation of SB 201. And we are not trying to not be regulated. We just believe there are numerous flaws still remaining in the current version of the regulation. We believe there are massive gaps in the regulation where specifics are needed to better define operational and mechanical aspects of the database. And the regulation as drafted still continues to overreach beyond the FID's statutory authority. So in the interest of avoiding conflicts between the FID and the industry in the future, this is the time where we should be working through these issues. It's not in anyone's best interest to drag this out or to take it into the courts. As such, we respectively request that today the FID not adopt this regulation and engage stakeholders in a way that is in keeping with our 20 years of established history. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Jennifer, do you have someone else, another commenter from the web?
We have Julie Townsend.
Yes, okay, hello.
Hello, Ms. Townsend.
Thank you. Julie, J-U-L-I-E, Townsend, T-O-W-N-S-E-I-D, representing Purpose Financial. We have participated in these workshops and again, with this draft have submitted written comments as we have in the past. Just wanted to make a couple of comments today regarding implementation timing and effective date of the rule, because the rule is silent on that issue. We operate in about a dozen states. We're a database where we operate under a database. Typically, it takes 4 to 6 months to comply with the database from the time that specs are received. And this particular rule is far more complex than any database that we operate under elsewhere. So 4 to 6 months would be insufficient. And we would really like the department to address timing of implementation. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Ms. Townsend. Jennifer, another commenter from the web?
We have Peter Aldis.
Mr. Aldis, we're ready for your comment.
Thank you. My name is Peter Aldis, P-E-T-E-R-A-L-D-O-U-S. I'm a staff attorney with Legal Aid Center of Southern Nevada. I'd first like to thank the staff at FID for working so hard to develop and implement these regulations. And I'd like to echo the comments of my colleague, Taylor Altman. At the end of the day, Chapter 604A exists to protect Nevadans from predatory lenders and predatory lending practices, and SB 201 was necessary to ensure that licensees comply with these protections. FID carefully developed these regulations to ensure they could do the job the legislature has asked them to do, and now that the regulations are finalized, I'm excited that it's time for the database to finally help FID protect Nevadans.
Thank you for your comments. Jennifer, next commenter.
We have Tom Clark.
Mr. Clark, we're ready for your comment. You may need to unmute yourself. We cannot hear you.
Good morning.
Apologies. Good morning.
My name is Tom Clark. I'm here on behalf of Nevada Title and Payday Loans. In the essence of time, I will just agree with my previous colleagues that made the comments, especially in regards to the issue of the vendor not being selected and the timeline for implementation of these regulations. I think it's important for us to clearly understand if you do go forward with these permanent regulations today, the impact that it's going to have on the industry as a whole. And in traditional sense, most of the time, the industry does have an understanding of the implementation and who the vendor is that they will be dealing with as they go forward. So with that, I look forward to the listening in on the remaining of the conversation today. Thank you.
Thank you for your comment, sir. Jennifer, next commenter.
We have no more commenters on the web. And I have one request for a phone person to be first, Trent Mattson.
Okay, Mr. Mattson, we're ready for your comment.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Good morning. My name is Trent Mattson. I'm the Director of Government Affairs for Money Tree, Inc., and we've been in business in Nevada since 1999. I have employed hundreds of Nevadans in dozens of stores and have prided ourselves. We pride ourselves on being outstanding corporate citizens there in Nevada. As we've mentioned in previous workshops, we oppose the adoption of this rule and now final rule for many reasons. First, this process, as you've heard by many of my cohorts, has been flawed from the outset, beginning with the methodology used from the small business impact data collection to the public workshops, where there was solely one-way dialogue and really no substantive interaction at all between the agency and industry. Further, the absence of agency willingness to accept really decades of combined industry experience operating within database states around the country has led to quite frankly, a final rule that's not in harmony at all with the enabling legislation, and it's ripe for confusion, uncertainty, unintended consequences, and we think will be devastating for Nevadans. The result of this flawed process, quite frankly, is a flawed final rule, and there are hosts of flaws within this final rule, which, for sake of brevity, I'll refer you to our previously submitted written comments for prior public workshops. But there are two issues of our greatest concern that can be found in Section 13, which we believe go well beyond the scope of Senate Bill 201 and Section 18, specifically subparagraph N as in Nancy, and the addition of total obligations. We just strongly believe that these are not in harmony with the enabling legislation and should have been removed, as stated multiple times throughout this process that have gone unrecognized. Finally, the agency's determinations of the short-term and long-term effects of the database are just patently untrue and counter to the data from other states which have implemented databases far less cumbersome and restrictive than is set out in this final rule to justify the imposition of the database, because according to agency terminology, less consumers will go into default entirely, ignores the data from other database states that prove the reduction or elimination of this legal regulated licensed product will ultimately lead to a rash of complaints from consumers preyed upon by illegal online offshore lenders, massive increases in bounce checks, later missed bill payments, and increases in bankruptcy. Removing this access to the legal licensed regulated products by virtue of the database will create far greater financial stress and other issues for Nevadans. And for these reasons, we would urge you not to adopt this final rule as proposed, and please sit down, has been repeatedly requested by the industry, who has literally decades of combined experience operating under database states, to help implement the best database for consumers in Nevadans at large. Thank you for your time. That concludes my remarks.
you for your comment, sir. Jennifer, do we have any other commenters from via the telephone?
We have William Horn from the web that we missed. Sorry.
Okay, Mr. Horn, we're ready for your comment.
Thank you. Good morning. William Horn, Strategy 360. William, common spelling, Horn, H-O-R-N-E, on behalf of Enova International. We share the concerns mentioned by the other companies in testimony and comments. And it's important to note that no one from the industry is objecting to the database, only if its scope as is exceeded through statutory authority in SB 201. We're concerned that the proposed regulations continue to significantly exceed the authority granted in FID under SB 201, specifically development of a new, untested, unauthorized, and experimental underwriting ability to repay methodology that measures customers' expenses or obligations. The most recent proposed regulations that were from November 13th still require licensees to input customers' total obligations into the database. The term obligation is not defined. In short, the proposed regulations appear to retain non-authorized net income requirement on the prior proposed regulation under the guise of a different name. We reiterate that no other state, even those with similar database requirements and gross income limits on small loans, require licensees to calculate and verify basic living expenses and other major obligations as part of a required ability to repay analysis. Obligations and basic living expenses are inherently subjective and extremely hard to reliably document. It's also important to note, I want to address, there's been a couple of comments speaking on the need for the database to protect consumers during this time of COVID hardships. I would point out that the industry is already complying with laws and regulations that protect against such abuses. It's already in the law, it's already in regulations. So to imply that these current conditions have made it right for the industry to take advantage of consumers is just false. We will continue to urge FID to remove all references, direct or implied, to borrower obligations and to defer any considerations of such factors to the full consideration of the legislature and legislative commission. Also, there is on the line a member of Enova if you have more specific direct questions to ask, and I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Jennifer, do we have any other commenters either from the web or via telephone?
We have no more web commenters. Anybody commenting from the phone, if you can try and take turns, that would be great. Thank you.
Anyone would like to provide comment? Any call in? Okay, so I'm not seeing any other or hearing any other callers via the web or the call in. So we will go ahead and move into agenda item 3, which is the presentation of the proposed regulation. Oh. Yes.
I'm sorry, I've been trying to make time. Listen, so far I've been trying to make a comment. I'm a phone caller.
Please, Ms. Soper, please go ahead.
Terrific, thank you. This is Melissa Soper, M-E-L-I-S-S-A-S-O-P-E-R, with Curo Financial Technologies Corp, doing business as Rapid Cash. We continue to oppose the proposed regulations. We have submitted written comments on two occasions, and our concerns have not been addressed. We do operate in several states where a database exists. Our opposition is in reference to the volume of information that is being proposed be entered into the database. While collecting more information than specified by SB 201 might seem like an efficient approach by the FID, we have significant experience with data integrity issues with these third-party database providers, and we believe that data requests from the lenders directly is really the best approach. I've heard comments about this regulation coming into effect to ensure the proper enforcement of existing laws, and to ensure that the database conducts an ATR assessment. Those should certainly all be requirements that are properly supervised by the FID, but the purpose of the database is to ensure that the GMI lending limit is enforced across lenders. By collecting more information than what was required in SB 201 in the database, it is ripe for data integrity issues. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Do we have anyone else that would wish to provide comment at this time? Okay, before we actually move on to agenda item three, I'd just like to say to everyone that Commissioner O'Loughlin and I will take a final review of all these comments. We review everything that was already submitted to us as well as the comments being given to us today. We will now move on to agenda item three, which is the presentation of the proposed regulation, consideration of written comments. The division received numerous comments, including, but not limited to, that the division was exceeding its statutory scope and authority in drafting these regulations, that the regulations allowed for the database vendor to make the underwriting decisions, wanting to know why the name of the vendor has not been provided to the industry, concerns of consumer privacy risks, concerns with the costs associated with the database to both the licensee and a customer, concerns of the division requesting a customer's total obligations, concerns with due date and closed loan definitions, and not defining certain terms, and concerns if the system goes down that they take the customer's written representation. The division addresses those concerns as follows. The division drafted these regulations within its statutory authority and scope as provided in Chapter 604A, including but not limited to NRS 604A.303. The data points and specifications outlined in the regulation is to assist licensee to be in compliance with NRS 604A and their ability to verify additional loans a customer may have outstanding with other lenders. SB 201 was passed to provide front-end enforcement of current consumer protections and existing law governing loans under NRS Chapter 604A. SB 201 requires the division to contract with the service provider to develop, implement, and maintain a database of loans under NRS Chapter 604A in order to accomplish the intent of the bill and ensure compliance with existing law. Testimony provided during the legislative session made clear the database would provide front-end compliance to verifying loan eligibility and compliance with NRS 604A in a proactive rather than a reactive approach. Legislative Council Digest on page 2 of SB 201 requires that the Commissioner of the Financial Institutions Division to develop, implement, and maintain by contract with the vendor or service provider a database for all deferred deposit loans, title loans, and high interest loans in the state for the purposes of ensuring compliance with existing law governing these types of loans. The division has an obligation to protect consumers and to prohibit lenders from violating the law. The database is a tool that provides this goal in conjunction with the division. The division has statutory authority and responsibility to obtain any necessary information to ensure a licensee is in compliance with NRS Chapter 604A and NAC Chapter 604A. The database is not taking over the lender's underwriting role. It implies existing law that mandates that a lender must not make certain loans, including loans that exceed the 25% limit. Lenders will still make independent underwriting decisions to determine if the loan is in compliance with existing law. The decision to make the loan is not being taken away from a licensee. It will assist a licensee in making a loan that complies with Chapter 604A. The division has not released a vendor name or a timeline, as the division has not reached the point of selecting a vendor to provide the name or the timeline. The division will work with the Nevada State Purchasing Division to select a vendor, but cannot do so until the regulations are finalized. During the early stages of the rulemaking process, the division conducted preliminary research on a database vendor, discussing the basic concepts with other state regulators that have a database requirement in their state. It was determined the vendor system interfaces directly with the licensee's current software, and there would be no additional expenses for a licensee to operate the database. There are no startup fees, and the minimal charge per approved loan could be passed on to the customer. It was also determined that a vendor would train and work with both the licensees and the division to implement the system. The purchasing division will vet each vendor to its criteria, including the security of data entered into a database. FID has spoken with its Department of Business and Industries IT professional and was advised that a vendor providing such a database would have to have high standards for security to operate in this state. possibly the need for the highest designation allowed as a PCI Level 1 compliant. The designation is equivalent to what is allowed for credit card processors governed by Payment Card Industry Council. Validation requirements include yearly assessments to be completed by the vendor to maintain its designated level. The division understands to ensure compliance with NRS 604A, and front-end enforcement requires the necessity to request a customer's obligations to determine the customer has the ability to repay a loan back to the licensee. The intent was not to create additional burden or restrictions for the licensee outside current NRS 604A laws, but to assist both the customer in repaying a loan and the licensee in making a loan. The underwriting standards of making of the loan is still decided by a licensee. Some other comments expressed concern with the due date definition. The definition of due date was simplified by LCB from the division's initial submission. Due date includes the date and payment is due to pay the loan in full to extinguish the debt, which would include all amounts owed by a customer to a licensee, which includes the principal, interest, and any charges or fees, or two, the date that a scheduled payment is due. The division does not anticipate this definition to cause any licensees issues. There was also a comment regarding a current legal case involving the fair market value of a vehicle. Since this is an ongoing case, the division cannot provide further comment. There was a comment concerning the definition of a closed loan, claiming that a definition is not clear if a licensee deems a loan to be charged off but is still trying to collect on. A loan that is still being collected on would be considered active and not a charged off loan. A licensee's remedy to collect for default loans prior to charge off are under current NRS 604A laws. Some definitions were not implemented in regulation for several reasons. One is that the term is already used in the statute and is not needed, and or two, if a word is not used in a sense different from its natural meaning, such as real time. There is also concerns in the event that the system goes down are alleviated by allowing the licensee to use a customer's written representation. This section was added only to be used in the very rare case the system was down due to unscheduled system maintenance, so that a licensee could continue to operate without disruption. The division does not anticipate the database being down due to technical issues. The division considered all written comments received from the Small Business Impact Survey, all written and verbal comments received prior to and during the first and second workshops, as well as written comments received prior to this adoption hearing. In consideration of all comments, the division removed language and or requirements and added or removed definitions that were confusing or would cause unnecessary efforts on the part of a 604A licensee, as long as it did not impact the consumer protection responsibility of the division or the spirit and intent of the law. The division's intent was not to cause any burden to a licensee, and the majority of the information in the regulation is already requested and reviewed by the division and maintained by a licensee, but is now also being requested in a different format to input into the database. The division has and always will appreciate the industry's willingness to help in continuous efforts to maintain compliance. The division will work with the vendor and the industry to ensure all parties are in full understanding of the requirements of database. The initial agency draft regulation was submitted to LCB on March 12, 2020, and revisions in consideration of industry comments were submitted on June 24, 2020 and August 27, 2020 to LCB for their review to determine that the regulation conformed to legislative authority and intent. LCB completed their initial review and provided its revised regulation dated October 26, 2020, and a draft revised proposed regulation dated November 13, 2020 that corrected three items from the version dated October 26, 2020. Those three items were, first item in section 3, it was missing the number 4 from 604A. It read NRS 608.303. It should have read NRS 604A.303. Second item was an unnecessary apostrophe at the beginning of section 14, subsection 2. And the third item was three items where monthly was added to gross income to read gross monthly income to align with NRS chapter 604A in sections 14, sections 18, subsection 2M, and section 22, subsection 1. Revised LCB file R037-20, dated November 13, 2020, is being adopted here today. I will now read the proposed revised regulation R037-20 into the record. Section 1. Chapter 604A of NAC is hereby amended by adding thereto the provisions set forth as sections 2 to 25 inclusive of this regulation. Section 2. as used in sections 3 to 25 inclusive of this regulation, unless the context otherwise requires, the words and terms in NRS 604A.036, 604A.038, and 604A.057, sections 3 to 7 inclusive of this regulation, have the meanings ascribed to them in those sections. Section 3. Database means the database required by NRS 604A.303 to be developed, implemented, and maintained. Section 4. Delete means to erase data by overwriting the data. Section 5. Due date means the date based on a payment schedule and subject to all statutory requirements on which a customer is scheduled to 1. Make a payment, either to pay the full amount of the loan, included principal, finance charge, and fees, and exhaust the debts, or 2. If applicable, make an installment payment. Section 6. Identifying customer information means 1. The name of a customer, 2. The social security number or alien registration number of a customer, 3. The driver's license number of a customer, or 4. The number of an identification card which was issued to a customer by the federal government, this state, or any other state that is entered into the database. Section 7. Service provider means the vendor or service provider with which the commissioner has contracted to develop, implement, and maintain the database. Section 8. For the purposes of sections 2 to 25 inclusive of this regulation, a loan is closed if the final status of the loan is no longer active because the loan has been paid in full under the loan agreement, because the loan is a title loan and the vehicle securing the loan has been repossessed, because the licensee has charged off the loan, or for any other reason. Section 9. The service provider shall 1. Develop, implement, and maintain the database. 2. Take all actions the service provider deems necessary to protect the confidentiality and security of the information contained in the database and be responsible for the confidentiality and security of such information. Section 10. The service provider shall 1. Retain the data in the database only as required to ensure that a licensee complies with the requirements of this chapter, Chapter 604A of NRS. 2. Unless notified by the commissioner that the data and identifying customer information relating to a transaction of a customer is needed for the purposes of pending investigation or enforcement action. A. Archive the data in the database not later than 2 years after the loan is closed. As used in this paragraph, archive means to copy data to a long-term storage mechanism separate from the database. B. Delete the data and any identifying customer information from the database on the date that is 3 years after the date on which the loan is closed. 3. If the database becomes unavailable for any reason, notify the Office of the Commissioner not later than the next business day after the database becomes unavailable. Section 11. 1. Access to the database must be limited to members of the staff of A. A licensee who underwrite and process loans. B. A licensee who collect and post payments made on loans. C. A licensee who are senior staff members. D. The service provider. And E. The Office of the Commissioner. 2. Each user of the database must be required to A. Create a password to access the database that meets the criteria of the service provider for passwords, and B. Safeguard the password by not sharing the password with any person or by committing the password to writing. Section 12. 1. Before making a deferred deposit loan, title loan, or high interest loan, a licensee shall query the database. 2. To verify the identity of a customer, a query made pursuant to subsection 1 must include, at a minimum, A. The full name of the customer, including without limitation, first and last name and middle initial. B. Social security number or alien registration number of the customer. C. The number of a valid identification card issued by a governmental entity which contains a photograph of the customer. And D. The date of birth of the customer. 3. The service provider shall retain each query of the database for review of the Office of the Commissioner. Section 13. 1. In response to a query by a licensee, database must A. Provide the licensee with the information which a licensee may obtain pursuant to paragraphs A to D inclusive of subsection 1 of NRS 604A.303. B. Inform the licensee whether a customer is eligible for a loan pursuant to this chapter in Chapter 604A of NRS. And C. The customer isn't eligible for a loan, provide the licensee with a reason for such an eligibility. 2. In determining the ability of a customer to repay a loan for the purposes of Chapter 604A of NRS, a licensee shall consider the information provided pursuant to subsection 1 and any other available information. 3. A licensee may approve a loan only if the making of the loan is permissible pursuant to the provisions of this chapter and Chapter 604A of NRS. 4. If the database informs a licensee that a customer is ineligible for a loan, the licensee must provide the customer with a written notice which contains A. The reason for an eligibility, B, the contact information of the service provider, and C, the statement advising the customer to submit an inquiry to the service provider if the customer has questions regarding a specific reason for the ineligibility. 5, a written notice provided by a licensee pursuant to subsection 4 does not preclude or replace any disclosure required by federal law. Section 14, during any period in which the database is unavailable due to technical issues on the service provider's side of the system, a licensee may rely upon the written representation of a customer applying for a loan and assess the ability of the customer to repay the loan by obtaining the documentation required by this chapter in Chapter 604A of NRS to verify that making the loan for which the customer applied is permissible pursuant to this chapter in Chapter 604A of NRS. 2. The written representation of a customer applying for a loan, which a licensee may rely on pursuant to subsection 1, must include, without limitation, A, an affirmation that the customer does not have any loan outstanding at the time the customer applies for the loan, B, if at the time the customer applies for a deferred deposit loan or high interest loan, the customer has another outstanding loan, an affirmation that, 1, the amount of the additional deferred deposit or high interest loan as applicable for which the customer is applying would not, when combined, the amount of the outstanding loan of the customer exceed 25% of the expected gross monthly income of the customer, and 2, the customer has the ability to repay the loan and the additional deferred deposit loan or high interest loan for which the customer is applying, or C, if at the time the customer applies for a title loan, the customer has outstanding another title loan, an affirmation that 1, the customer has the ability to repay the outstanding title loan and the additional title loan for which the customer is applying, and 2, the title to the vehicle is not perfected with another lender or licensee. 3, if a licensee makes a loan to a customer during a period when the database is unavailable, whether due to a scheduled outage or other technical issues, a licensee must A, enter the loan into the database not later than 24 hours after the database becomes operational, B, notate on the loan file that the loan is originated during a period the database was unavailable, and C, retain all records of the loan transaction as required for any loan which is made by a licensee pursuant to the provisions of this chapter in Chapter 604A of NRS. Section 15. Except as otherwise provided in this section, the service provider shall charge and collect a fee from a licensee for each loan which the licensee approves and enters into the database. The fee A must have established by the competitive procurement process through which the service provider was selected by the commissioner, and B must not exceed $3 per approved loan. 2, the service provider shall not charge or collect a fee from a licensee for a loan which is A, not approved, B, voided, or C, rescinded. 3, the fee may be charged only at the time of the origination of a loan and cannot be charged to extend, roll over, renew, refinance, or consolidate a loan, or for any other action which would extend the due date. Section 16. 1, a licensee shall not charge or collect from a customer a fee, A, if a loan is not approved, B, if a loan is void, C, if a loan is rescinded, D, an amount which exceeds the actual cost of the fee charged to the licensee by the service provider. 2, the fee must itemize on the loan agreement, regardless of whether the fee is required to be included in the finance charge under the Truth in Lending Act, as amended 15 U.S.C. at Section 1601 and Regulation Z 12 CFR Part 226. Section 17. Except as otherwise provided in Section 13 of this regulation, a licensee shall enter into the database in real time, 1, each loan originated by the licensee, 2, each renewal, extension, rollover, and refinance of a loan, 3, information concerning a loan that has entered a grace period, 4, each payment on a loan, 5, the date on which an offer of a repayment plan is sent, 6, the date on which a repayment plan is entered into by the customer and the licensee, 7, each declined loan, and 8, any other transaction relating to a loan as applicable and in compliance with the provisions of this chapter in Chapter 604A of NRS. Section 18. 1. A licensee who makes A, a deferred deposit loan, or B, a high interest loan, shall comply with the requirements of subsection 2. 2. Except as otherwise provided in Section 13 of this regulation, a licensee who makes a loan described in subsection 1 shall, in real time, enter into the database the following information. A. Whether the customer is a covered service member. B. Whether the customer is a dependent of a covered service member. C. The origination date of the loan. D. The term of the loan. E. The principal amount of the loan. F. The total finance charge associated with the loan. G. The fee charged for the loan. H. The due date of the loan. I. The annual percentage rate of the loan. J, the scheduled payment amount. K, the payment details as required by Section 20 of this regulation. L, the type of loan product. M, the gross monthly income of the customer. And N, the total obligations of the customer. Section 19, except as otherwise provided in Section 13 of this regulation, a licensee who makes a title loan shall, in real time, enter into the database the following information. 1. Verification that the customer is the legal owner of the vehicle which secures the loan. 2. Whether the customer is a covered service member. 3. Whether the customer is a dependent of a covered service member. 4. The origination date of the loan. 5. The term of the loan. 6. The principal amount of the loan. 7. The total finance charge associated with the loan. 8. The fee charge for the loan. 9. The due date of the loan. 10. The annual percentage rate of the loan. 11. The scheduled payment amount. 12. The payment details as required by Section 20 of this regulation. 13. The year, make, model, and vehicle identification number of the vehicle which secures the loan. 14. The fair market value of the vehicle as valued by a third-party vendor. 15. If applicable, A. The name of the legal co-owner of the vehicle, and B. The consent of the legal co-owner of the vehicle for the vehicle to serve as security for the loan. Section 20. 1. Except as otherwise provided in Section 13 of this regulation, each payment made on a loan, the licensee shall, in real time, enter into the database the following information without limitation. A. The scheduled payment amount. B. The due date of the payment. C. The actual payment amount. D. The date on which the payment was made. E. The allocation of the total payment, including, without limitation, the dollar amount applied to the principal and the dollar amount applied to interest and fees. F. The amount and date of the payment received from a customer when the loan is paid in full. 2. If a customer fails to make a payment as scheduled, the licensee shall enter into the database the following information. A. The new interest rate, if applicable. B. Whether a repayment plan was offered. C. Whether the customer entered into a repayment plan. D. The duration of the grace period, if any. 3. If a customer enters into a loan agreement which requires installment payments, the licensee must enter into the database information required pursuant to subsection 1 for each installment payment. Section 21. Each licensee shall enter into the database and maintain the status of each loan originated by that licensee, including, without limitation, 1. If the loan is in collection, whether being collected by the licensee or by a third party, A. The date on which the loan entered into collection. B. The payment history of the loan. 2. If the loan is in default, A. The date on which the loan entered into default. B. The payment history of the loan. C. And if the interest rate changed, the new rate and the date on which the rate changed. 3. If the loan is in a grace period. A. The date on which the loan entered into the grace period. B. The payment history of the loan. 4. If the loan is in a repayment plan. A. The date on which the loan entered the repayment plan. B. The payment plan history of the loan. 5. If the loan is closed. A. The date on which the loan was closed. B. The reason the loan was closed. 6. If a vehicle which secured a loan was ordered to be repossessed. A. The date on which the vehicle was ordered to be repossessed. B. The date on which the repossession of the vehicle occurred. Section 22. A licensee shall retain for not less than 3 years all data and documentation collected and reviewed for any loan, loan transaction, query made in the database. For the purposes of this section, documentation includes, without limitation, 1. All copies of the documents considered in determining the ability of a customer to repay a loan, including the gross monthly income of the customer, identity, and credit history. And 2. For title loans, any third-party vendor documentation which shows the fair market value of the vehicle which secured the title loan and a copy of the title to the vehicle. Section 23. 1. Except as otherwise provided in Section 10 of this regulation, a licensee shall not delete any information relating to a customer that has entered into the database. 2. If a loan or loan transaction is void or rescinded, a licensee must notate on the loan file and in the database that the loan or loan transaction is voided or rescinded as applicable, and the reason that the loan or loan transaction is voided or rescinded. Except as otherwise provided in Section 10 of this regulation, the licensee shall not delete the voided or rescinded loan or loan transaction from the database. Section 24. 1. The Office of the Commissioner must have access to the database and will use the database as a tool of enforcement to ensure the compliance of each licensee with the provisions of this chapter and Chapter 604A of NRS. 2. The Office of the Commissioner may periodically run reports for purposes other than examinations, investigations, or internal reporting, including without limitation, to publish online a report regarding the scope of the industry. The data in such a report must not disclose identifying customer information or information which identifies a licensee, including without limitation, the name, address, or number of the license of a licensee. The report may contain A, the number of loans made for each loan product, B, the number of defaulted loans, C, the number of loans paid, including the number of loans paid by their respective due dates and loans paid after their respective due dates, D, the total amount borrowed and collected, and E, any other permissible data that the commissioner or his or her designee deems necessary. Section 25, a customer may request from a licensee without charge, fee, or cost a copy of his or her own loan history, file, record, any other documentation relating to any loan for which the customer applied or repayment of any loan made to the customer. That completes the presentation of the proposed regulation. We will now move on to item 4, adoption of the proposed regulation. The Financial Institution Division hereby adopts revised regulation R037-20, which pertains to Chapter 604A of the Nevada Administrative Code, as that regulation is described in the Legislative Council Bureau version dated November 13, 2020. We will now move on to public comment once more. If anyone would like to make additional comment, there is no need to restate a comment already made. Comments will first be taken from those individuals that joined in by web, and second from those who joined in by telephone. Web participants, please type an X in the chat box now if you wish to provide a comment. Please wait to be recognized by the coordinator before unmuting. Clearly state and spell your first and last name and a business affiliation for the record before you begin your comment. Jennifer, do you have any commenters from the web?
We had a commenter that I was trying to talk on the phone earlier and was unable to be heard. So Neil Tomlinson, if you can hear me and you are still on the line, if you'd like to make your comment, please go ahead.
Mr. Tomlinson, are you still with us? Mr. Tomlinson, we will go ahead and take, if we have any other commenters, and we will circle back to you before we close the hearing. Jennifer, do we have anybody that would like to put five comments via the web?
We have Bailey Bortolin.
Hey, Ms. Bortolin, we're ready for your comment.
Thank you. This is Bailey Bortolin, B as in boy, A-I-L-E-Y, B-O-R-T-O-L-I-N, with the Nevada Coalition of Legal Service Providers. I would just like to thank Mary Young for doing such a thorough job with this. I think what we heard today was more of a lamenting of the state regulatory process for those that may not be familiar with it. It has been followed to a T. So thank you for being so thorough in the undertaking of this. We are 6 months delayed in the implementation, so I would encourage the state to move forward with this as quickly as possible, noting, of course, that the expert staff and attorneys at FID, at the Attorney General's office, and at the Legislative Council Bureau have all undertaken this. So any insinuation that this may not be legally accurate, I feel confident, has been covered by the state in the process that we have undergone, and that we should be able to implement this with confidence. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Jennifer, do we have anyone else who'd like to provide a comment at this time?
Don't have any more comments from the web unless Michael Kerr would like to speak.
Okay, Mr. Kerr.
Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can, sir.
I would just urge the department to really thoughtfully respond to some of the particular questions and criticisms and concerns raised by industry, particularly the ones about the regulations going beyond the four corners of statute. We are only a few weeks from the start of a new session. And if the legislature actually wanted FID to impose an ability to pay requirement that included things like somebody's rent
and basic living expenses. They could have done that. They did not. And so I would recommend that you drop obligations from this, because it's so subjective and it's such an entry point for mischief that it's just causing a lot of heartburn. Thank you.
Wait, sir, if you could please spell your name and your business affiliation for the record.
Oh, sure. Michael, common spelling, Kerr, K-E-R-R, with Innova International.
Thank you, sir, for your comment. Jennifer, do we have any other commenters from the web?
We have Victoria Newman.
Ms. Newman, we're ready for your comment.
It's more of a question, Deputy Commissioner. It sounded like you had some specific commentary that you read at the beginning of the presentation, responding to some of the industry concerns in the documents that have been received. Could you please share that with this group? It would be helpful. I couldn't take notes fast enough. If you could share that commentary with this group, that would be extremely helpful. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. It would be part of the minutes and both of the recording on our website when that is all prepared and finalized. Jennifer, do we have any other commenters from the web?
There are no more comments from the web. Anybody from the phone that would like to speak? Go ahead.
This is Neil Tomlinson. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. And thank you for calling back on me again. I don't know what the technology issue was when I was trying to speak before. My name is Neil Tomlinson, T-O-M-L-I-N-S-O-N. I'm with the Brownstein Hyatt firm. I'm here representing Dollar Loan Center. We have submitted comments on prior occasions back on April 27th, July 8th, and September 15th. It certainly does not appear that any of these comments were even addressed or discussed with the division. I think as many of the other commenters have stated, including Ms. Welch, Mr. Peter Guzman, and Ryan Marchese, we certainly agree and adopt those comments. There just has not been any meaningful dialogue throughout the workshop process. I've been a regulatory attorney for more than 20 years in Nevada, and I've never seen a workshop, series of workshops conducted the way that these have been. Obviously, COVID has presented numerous challenges, but there still must be a meaningful dialogue with the industry, and unfortunately, it just has not occurred in this situation. Dollar Loan Center has been in business for more than 22 years in Nevada. They've been licensed and regulated in a very good business, employing hundreds of employees, and their entire business and livelihood is in jeopardy because we have, unfortunately, in front of us a set of regulations that is just not workable for the industry. The implementation and upkeep costs are just going to be insurmountable. We've already seen the industry decline in big numbers throughout the pandemic. And this regulation is a part of that. I think that people are just not going to be able to comply, especially when we've had a workshop system that has not taken into account the industry's comments and the fact that the regulations clearly go well beyond the intent of SB 201. It just goes so far afield of what the legislature adopted and that we supported. Dollar Loan Center, to be clear, is not opposed to the database. We want to comply. Unfortunately, these regulations make it a situation where there has not been a two-way dialogue, and we are ending up with an overly burdensome and unworkable regulation that is going to really not help consumers or the industry. It's going to hurt everyone. It's just not going to be a situation that is going to be able to be worked through, in our opinion, just because of the way that the regulations have gone and the way it's been a one-way street. So again, I don't want to belabor the point. We've submitted comments on numerous occasions. We still have the same comments and questions that have not been answered throughout this process. And we would urge that the division not adopt these regulations at this time, but instead set it for another workshop. What's the harm in having an actual dialogue with the industry? we recommend and respectfully request that the division set this matter for another workshop where we can have some meaningful back and forth dialogue, which is intended through the regulation process. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comment, sir. Do we have any other commenters from the web or via the telephone?
We have no more web comments.
Okay, and we're not hearing any more from the phone and callers. Okay, so at this time, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is 6, close the workshop, the adjournment, the adoption hearing for R037-20 pertaining to Senate Bill 201 in Chapter 604A of the Nevada Administrative Code is hereby closed and adjourned on December 9th, 2020 at 11:12 a.m. Thank you everyone for joining us today.